You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
And welcome back. I say hour number two, another 30 minutes to go here. We'll talk with Scott Stump from All Shore Media in a little bit. And also, real treat, Houston Texans tight end Garrett Graham. But before that, we get to our regular spotlight right around this time. And certainly not as jubilant and jovial as he was a week ago. The head coach of the Monmouth University Hawks, Kevin Callahan, as Hawks losing a Northeast Conference game at Albany last Saturday. And this is a bye week for Monmouth. Monmouth is off this weekend. Coach, I'll ask you how long it took you to kind of get the taste of this one out of your mouth. And would you rather be playing this Saturday, or is this a good week to have the bye?
Well, it's great to be on, guys, again. And, to answer your first question, it still isn't out of my mouth. And your second question, I think it's a great week to have a bye.
Okay.
Coach, when you think about that game a little bit, I mean, there were such expectations going into it, and the way that the game started looked like it could be a pretty good day. You know, Mama takes the opening possession and then goes down the field, nice long scoring drive, and goes up 7-0. But the story of that game, really, at least for Albany offensively, Mama defensively, was just giving up too many big plays during the course of the afternoon.
There's no doubt about it. And Matt, as you and I talked about on the Tuesday night radio show, that was one of the key things that I thought winning the game would depend upon. And I told our team before the game and even leading up to the game that there's going to be five areas where I thought we had to be successful. And first and foremost was not to give up any big plays on defense. And, you know, I knew we couldn't turn the ball over. I felt we had to be able to run the ball. I felt we had to win the special teams and certainly win in the fourth quarter. But just as you said, the big plays that we gave up on defense early on, and one of them was a special team play, but, you know, in doing that, you know, we really played into Albany's hands. You know, they're an excellent football team, and I thought they played Saturday's game lights out, maybe the best that they had played all year. It wasn't our best day in the areas that I mentioned, and, you know, I think the result is the final score that we saw.
Kevin, a pretty quiet bus ride home, right? How'd the players take it?
Hard. Yeah, I'll tell you that, Ed. I mean, we had a lot of expectations for that game. I think as soon as the game was over, our guys really, knew and felt that we hadn't played up to the level of our own expectations, and they were disappointed by that. And so as we came home, I think it was a time for a lot of reflection. And you know, the good thing is, you know, we had a couple of days off this week with it being a bye, and, you know, we practiced yesterday and today. And, you know, one of the things I saw from the team is we're starting to get a little bit of life back. You know, they understand, okay, that's one game of 11. We weren't at our best for whatever reason, but, you know, I think we're resolved to come back and finish out these last six games in a way that we're accustomed to playing.
So has this week been a combination of, making the adjustments from last week and mentally trying to get your players focused, or have you given them a couple of days a week? What's your policy during a bye week?
Well, you know, what you want to do during the bye week, I think, depending on where it comes. You know, this one comes just about mid-season, and, you know, for the past couple of years, we've had it in, like, week two. So where last year in week two, we went out and, you know, we treated it like training camp again. We went right to work and, you know, really tried to refine techniques and fundamentals. And where this year, you know, being the time that it came at, and, you know, guys have played five games and we've got some bumps and bruises and some nicks, it was time to give them a little bit of a rest. And so what we did is we gave them Sunday completely off. We came in on Monday, we watched the film, and that's all we did. Tuesday, we got a good lift in and went out and did some conditioning. Wednesday and Thursday, we had full padded practices, and those practices were concentrated on long periods of individual work, and, you know, where we could not only work with our younger players, guys who maybe haven't been able to get the number of reps in a normal practice and work on their fundamentals, and, you know, I'm talking about the freshmen and sophomores and guys like that, but also, you know, we did some scheme thing, and we made sure we got our you know, our seconds an awful lot of work this week and rested a lot of our firsts. We know there's six games left, and some of these seconds are going to become firsts, and, you know, at some point through injury, and, you know, we wanted to make sure that we gave them all the extra work that was necessary to help develop them.
Coach, you've been at it for a long time. You know, 20 years as now a head coach. How difficult is your job after a game like Albany to kind of hold everybody together and maybe over the course of 2 weeks it's easier than 1 week and say, you know, as you said, there's a lot of football left to be played. There's 6 weeks left of the season. Five of those games are NEC games. And it's not extremely uncommon, probably more common than not, that teams do not go undefeated all the way through an NEC schedule. Even though Albany's a good football team, they have a difficult schedule coming up as well. So the season really far from over.
A long way from over. And I had my weekly meeting with our captains this afternoon, and, you know, that's one of the things I told them. You know, as a matter of fact, I guaranteed them that Albany would not go through the NEC portion of the schedule unbeaten. I also, you know, it's my job as a head coach is to kind of see the big picture. And, you know, what I really attempted to do this week is all right, we're going to get over the loss. We're going to make corrections. We're going to become a better team. We're going to look at why last Saturday went the way it did and what can we change to make sure that it doesn't happen again. But also to refocus our group on what's in front of us. You know, we don't want to be, you know, looking at what's behind us. We want to be looking at what's in front of us. We have six more games. So, you know, we didn't harp a lot on the schedule and the opponents during this bye week. You know, we worked on football and fundamentals and technique. And now when we come back on Sunday, you know, we'll get right to work on Cornell, which is our first game, you know, on the 13th up there in Ithaca. And, you know, and then we'll go through the league games from there.
You know, Coach, we have so many players from the Missouri area, some that play at Monmouth and some go on to different schools all around the country, and a lot of them not necessarily Division I, but Division III players, your son being one of them, and I know you're looking forward to finally kind of having an opportunity to see him play this weekend.
I am, Matt. This is the first time in the 3 years that he's been up at Amherst College that I will have an opportunity to see him play. They're 2-0 right now. They're playing at Middlebury College up in Vermont. And I plan to go up and see him play in that game on Saturday. And as I said, it's the first time since he's been there that I've had an opportunity to see a game.
Hope you're taking him out to dinner afterwards.
Actually, I'm driving to Amherst on Friday night because it's a day trip for them, the 3 hours up there. We're going to go out on Friday night, and then, you know, we'll be up in Middlebury, and then I'll probably have maybe 45 minutes, an hour to be with them after the game up in Vermont, and then I'll drive back from there to here.
Well, have a good weekend. I hope it's a good one for you. Of course, we'll chat about Cornell next Thursday. And, of course, Coach Callahan and Matt Hurd every Tuesday on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on 1160 and 1310 a.m. from 7 to 8. And, of course, they do that live at Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End. Coach, have a great weekend. Enjoy the visit.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, hopefully we'll chat with the Houston Texans tight end. They invade MetLife Stadium on Monday night, where if they score 7 points, that should be good enough to win over the Jets. We'll talk with Garrett Graham after this. You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.
Add more excitement to your life at Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River. Every night is the perfect night for Water Street, with happy hour specials every day and live entertainment every weekend. Enjoy 2-for-1 burgers on Tuesday and $5 margarita pizzas and sangrias on Wednesdays. Football fan? Catch all the hard-hitting action on 21 HD TVs, plus enjoy drink and food specials during every game. Baker's Water Street is located across from Huddy Park on Robin Street in downtown Toms River. Visit them at bakerswaterstreet.com. Fall is busy, so get ready with a new set of Bridgestone tires and a little something in return. Now when you buy 4 select Bridgestone tires at the newly remodeled Bayville Auto Care, you could receive a $70 American Express Rewards card or Wii system by mail. Offer valid through September 30th. See dealer for details. For all your auto needs, from tires and tune-ups to major repairs, visit the pros at Bayville Auto Care on Route 9, 732-269-9893, and at BayvilleAuto.com.
These days, the concept of value matters more than ever, and you'd be hard-pressed to find a better value than high school sports. Extracurricular activities, including sports, make up about 2% of the budget for a typical New Jersey high school. In return, participation in sports promotes citizenship and sportsmanship. Sports also instill a sense of community pride and teach lifelong lessons about cooperation and self-discipline. They encourage physical fitness. They produce community leaders. By offering so many benefits to the community for such a small percentage of a school's overall budget, it's easy to see why high school sports are one of the best bargains around. The real cost would come from not having them at all. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association and the Directors of Athletics Association of New Jersey.
Now back to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, powered by Community, Kimball, and Monmouth Medical Centers. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
All right, welcome back. Few minutes left and a real thrill, as mentioned before the break. The Houston Texans, who are undefeated, come into MetLife Stadium on Monday night to take on the Jets, and there'll be a lot of folks from the Shore area, especially Brick, making that commute up to MetLife Stadium to see the Texans because their third-year tight end is former Brick Memorial Mustang and University of Wisconsin Badger, Garrett Graham, and he's good enough to give us a few minutes before heading back east. Garrett, it's been a while. Good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Real good, and nice to talk to you, and I got to believe you're really looking forward to coming back east, especially considering the way your team has been playing.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a fun one Monday night. You know, got a lot of family and friends heading up there. I think they rented out a charter bus, so yeah, it should be a good time.
Matter of fact, your brother is right here. He's scalping tickets. He's not getting what he wanted for him. He said he'll sell anything to get rid of it. But all kidding aside, it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of people looking forward to it. And I guess for you, the real good news is you are now become really much more of a part of the offense and getting a lot of playing time with the Texans.
Yeah, you know, we had Joel Dreesen head out, went to Denver, so it opened up a spot for me and just tried to take advantage of it during camp, and been getting a lot of playing time in two tight end sets and rotating in there, and you know, just trying to do whatever I can to help the team right now.
Hey, Garrett, Coach Sarluka here. Good to talk to you tonight. I'll be one of those people on the bus Monday night, you know, looking forward to seeing the game. If we're going to be sitting kind of high up, so I'll bring my binoculars. But how special is it to be on what many so-called experts are calling the best team in the NFL right now?
Yeah, it's definitely a pleasure. I mean, not only do the guys on our team bring it on game day, but, you know, every day in practice, you know, our defense is out there making plays. You know, the offense is in sync with each other. So, you know, as much as they put the hard work in the offseason, it's really showed off and paid off this season.
Garrett, talk a little bit about, if you can, you know, you've had to make this transition really twice, if you think about it. You had a standout career at Brick Memorial, then you go and you have to start all over at a Big Ten school in Wisconsin where you're a redshirt that first year, and then you wind up having a good career. And then again, after you get drafted in the fourth round in 2010, you wind up having to kind of reestablish yourself and restart in the NFL. How difficult of a transition is that? And was it kind of similar going from high school to college as opposed to college into the NFL?
It was pretty similar. You know, you got to learn a new offense. You know, but not only that, but, you know, it's the technique that they're teaching and the fundamentals that you have to adjust to and work with that. But, you know, one of the things that I think really helped me out a lot is getting to college, just working with the strength coaches and getting bigger and everything. And since I've gotten here, I've gotten much stronger, and that's really helped me out a bunch.
I want to ask you a little bit about your quarterback. A couple of weeks ago, Matt Schaub took a couple of vicious hits in the Denver game, especially the second one in which the helmet came off, lost a little piece of his ear. I would imagine you guys have always respected him as your leader, but I'm wondering if that even, you know, raised his profile with his own teammates just a bit higher to see how tough he is and to come back from those hits.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was just hoping he would get up off the ground, but, you know, he's definitely he's always been a leader on our team, but you know, he's one of the toughest guys in the locker room for sure. But yeah, you know, Matt's a great guy. He's another guy who brings it every day, and you know, you're always going to get a good effort out of him.
Garrett, it's not often we get to talk to a pro football player, one that plays a lot. Tell us a little bit about the weekly routine. You play a Sunday game. You know, when do you step on the field after that?
Monday. Yeah, we're out there Monday. You know, we'll go through, we'll watch film, go through some corrections on the field, you know, a little jog through to get the soreness out, they say, but it seems to hurt just as much afterwards. And then we're off, usually off Tuesdays, you know, come in, get some treatment, you know, whatever you need to do, get a lift in that day if you want to. And then, you know, we're right back at it. Wednesday and Thursday is when we put the meat of the game plan in. You know, and then by Friday, it's pretty much a polished day. You want to show your teammates that you know what you're doing on the game plan that week and you're ready to go. And then, you know, Saturday we'll have a little walkthrough, make sure everyone's good on special teams, knows where they're playing and everything. And then it's Sunday, it's game day, ready to go. Or in this case, it'll be Monday this week.
When will you travel to New Jersey?
We'll leave Sunday. I would imagine probably around noontime.
All right, I got a couple quickies for you here. Number one, if you can, tell me your fondest memory from playing high school football at Brick Memorial. That would be part one. Part two is, how has life changed now that you're married, you idiot? And then number three, all kidding aside, and number three, Owen Daniels is one of my fantasy tight ends. Do I want to play him Monday night? Can you answer those three for me?
Sure, absolutely. Fondest memory was probably winning the state championship. That was, you know, a great bunch of guys. You know, Coach Springle, you know, it was unbelievable. Did so many things for me throughout my career. But, you know, that was definitely an awesome time. What was the second question? Oh, sorry.
Married life.
What's married life? You got married this summer.
Yeah, got married. You know, I guess it's a good thing that it doesn't seem like all that much has changed. You know, it's been pretty easy going so far. So
wait until you get a loss, right?
Yeah, wait a couple of years down the road, huh?
Oh, a couple years. Oh, that sounds good.
And how about Owen Daniels Monday night? Big game?
Absolutely. I mean, you can always expect a big game from Owen. You know, had a great job last week, had a score. So, yeah, I'd say start him all the way. Start him for the whole season.
You know, the Jets are limping a little bit. Obviously, you know, you'd probably like to jump on them early, because I'm sure the Jet fans, after a couple of cocktails Monday night, if they're down early, will be really sweet, won't they?
Yeah, I'd imagine they'd be getting a little rowdy if things aren't going good.
Well, we appreciate it. I know you don't have a lot of spare time, but we appreciate you giving us a few minutes. I know a lot of people around the area will be looking for number 88 on Monday night. We wish you not only well Monday, but the rest of the season. Stay healthy and have a great year. And thanks for a few minutes of your time.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, there goes Garrett Graham from the Houston Texans by way of the University of Wisconsin and Brick Memorial High School.
You know, always a very quiet kid.
Yes, he was.
Remember him in high school.
Why don't we
say it?
He was never a great interview in high school.
But he's gotten much better.
Oh, he was good on the field. I'll tell you what, number 11 in high school, right? Was he number 11 at Memorial? He wore
yes.
number 11 when he played
yeah.
No,
those things?
I don't think so.
Yeah
he wore...
Yeah.
11?
18.
18.
18. 18.
Okay,
yeah.
18. I knew it was a lot. 16. That's 16. What it was. 16.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah, I knew it was not a tight end's number, but we always said he really was
but
not.
But he was a wideout.
He was a wideout in that tight end's body.
You know,
and, you know.
The big transition was going to Wisconsin.
Boy, he got so much bigger.
Not only yeah. did he have to get bigger
he
and
learn
stronger,
how to block.
But he had to learn how to block.
And I'll
exactly.
tell you what, he did.
Yeah,
he
that's
did.
What they liked about him. Houston.
That's great. I mean, it's really exciting. We always get a kick out of, you know, local guys. I'll watch Monday night when I, you know, I'm sure like I'm a lot of you guys on Sunday now, I don't watch a game. I watch the red zone.
Red zone, yeah.
And all I do when they get to the Texans, I look for 88, you know. Yeah. And it's just nice to see him getting his opportunities to play with a real good team. So good luck to Garrett, and I hope all you guys have a good time. Stumper will be joining us momentarily as soon as Phil tells us we have him on our line, and then we'll do our football picks to wrap up tonight's show. And really, this is kind of a strange weekend. There's so many teams on the bye.
A lot of bye weeks.
I think it's
a
dozen. You know, I think so. I mean, there's, you know, I hate to say there's only a couple of big games because every team's game is a big one. But there's really only a couple of games that really have impact on division races and all that stuff. You know, you could make a case that the two biggest games in terms of division races this weekend are Point Borough at Monsignor Donovan and Asbury Park at Point Beach, which is huge tomorrow night for the Garnet Gulls. You know, they were good last year, but Asbury kind of, you know, took care of them, and they didn't get a chance to win a division title. And, you know, boy, if the Beach comes out on tomorrow night, you know, they control their own destiny in winning a division crown.
No, that would be a huge win for them. I mean, if you can set yourself up and pick off one of those teams, especially that has dominated the division for as long as Asbury Park has, you take a big leg up for sure.
All right, let's welcome in for a few minutes our good friend from All Shore Media and, of course, ShoreSportsNetwork.com. He is Scott Stump. Stumper, I've already quoted you once tonight. When we had Mike Basile on earlier, I used your quote from your preview, All Shore Magazine preview issue about, you know, a star waiting to shine. It's been prophetic, and I don't think there's any question. The game a lot of people are really looking forward to is tomorrow night, Brick Memorial Neptune.
Oh, definitely. I mean, especially, you know, it's a non-divisional game, so it's really just kind of, you know, PowerPoints and rankings. But I think the way these two teams have been so impressive the first 4 weeks, that's what has people really, really excited. Plus two programs, you know, that are perennial playoff teams. It's just one of those juicy matchups that you don't always get between divisions, you know, among top five teams. So, yeah, I think people are definitely looking forward. All eyes on the Shore tomorrow night will be on that game.
Yeah, Scott, you know, I wrote my blog this week that it's, you know, offense versus defense. You know, Memorial scoring at almost 40 a game in their first four. Neptune only giving up 9 a game. So what gives?
Yeah, I think it's really going to come down to the performance of the offensive line for Brick Memorial. Because I think with Neptune's speed, they're not an easy team to hit with big plays. You kind of want to grind them out on the ground a little bit. And I think this will be a real indication of how much of a playmaker Mike Basile is. Because if he can get separation or break big ones against this Neptune defense, you know, I was talking to Walt Curry, the Brick Memorial coach, the other night. He said Basile runs a 4.6 40, and I said, yeah, Neptune probably has about 6 of those kicks. So we'll find out, you know, just how explosive the seal is. I mean, this is one of those games where if you really go crazy and score and get separation and find the end zone, you're going to be sending that tape out tomorrow to colleges. So I think it's really going to come down to who wins the line of scrimmage. And I think the other scary thing is when they do put the ball in the air, you know, Ryan Saplinski is going to have to be pinpoint and accurate, because as we've seen with this great Neptune secondary, I mean, they've had multiple interception returns for touchdowns, and if the pass isn't right on target, or if they jump one of your routes, you know, that could be 6 points the other way too. So I'm definitely interested to see, you know, how Brick Memorial's explosive offense does against the most speed that it's faced all year.
Stumpy, halfway in for a lot of these teams, and there's still 8 undefeated teams remaining. Who's the biggest surprise to you that has not had a loss yet?
Well, I mean, Colts next 4-0 for the first time ever in their program history. But I think if you looked at their schedule in the preseason, you wouldn't necessarily have been blown away that they would be 4-0. And I kind of think the same way of Point Beach. I would have made Point Beach pretty much a favorite in their first four games. So even though those two teams are both 4-0, either for the first time ever or the first time in, you know, nearly 20 years, I wouldn't consider that a total surprise. I mean, more surprising things to me are a team like Marlboro that was winless last year and already has 2 divisional wins for the first time since 1999. You know, that might not have been something that everyone saw coming. I also think Holmdel going 1-9 last year is already off to a 3-1 start. And
you got to like what St. John Vianney's done. Their 40-0 victory over Monsignor Donovan's looking pretty good given what Mondon has done since then. And then they come back and stun Manasquan for maybe their first win ever over that team, or at least the first maybe since the early 1980s. So I would say Vianney is another team that, you know, maybe has won some games people didn't think they could get. And then the final one would be probably Jackson Liberty, off to a 3-1 start. You know, they never even had a winning season in the since their program started in 2007. So that's a good start for them. And even though Lakewood's 3-1, I know a lot of people say, how is Lakewood being 3-1 not a shock? But given their schedule and the players they had back, I'm not really totally surprised about that either.
Scott, we don't have a whole lot of time, but one more game. Asbury Park at Beach. Is Beach for real?
That's what we're going to find out. I mean, I think, can they close a big gap between them and Asbury Park from last year? And I just like the intensity of this game. I covered the Asbury Park against Point Barrow game last week, and Asbury Park coach Matt Arzon said flat out, we don't like that team at all. They don't like us. We don't like them. So there is no love lost between these two teams, and I'm sure Beach has had this one circled on the schedule. It's all going to come down to whether they can run the ball against an Asbury Park defense that's been pretty good against the run this year.
All right, Scott, I appreciate it. Of course, folks, remember to pick up your copy of the All Shore Media newspaper in every Wawa in Ocean and Monmouth counties. Thanks a lot, Scott.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, we will, and we've only got a few minutes left, so let's get to the Big Six football picks. Last week, Kevin and Ed, we were both 4-2. Matt, 3-3 for the season. I'm 18-6, 2 up on Ed. Matt, well entrenched in last place.
I'm ready to sit this segment out from now on.
Not the usual case.
Game will broadcast tomorrow night on 105.7 The Hawk. Spend a lot of time on it tomorrow night. Neptune visits Brick Memorial. Coach Sarluka.
I think I'll go with the Stangs. What do you think?
I think we'll pick up a game. I like Neptune.
I do too.
I'll take Neptune too.
Point Barrow, Monsignor Donovan, big one in Big South, B South, Matt.
I'm going to take Monsignor Donovan that game. I picked Point Barrow last week to upset Asbury. They didn't come through for me. I'm not thinking they're going to do it this week.
I'm going to go with Dan Duddy and the Griffins also.
All right, I'm going to go with them as well. I have Mondon. Manasquan, Middletown South. Squan in a position hard to imagine, but they are. I think Middletown South will bounce back from that disappointing loss. They played very well last week against Manalapan. I like the Eagles.
Yeah, I do too. That's a good football team. Don't let the loss to Manalapan sway you.
I'll take Middletown South too.
All right, we just mentioned Asbury Park at Point Bar at Point Beach. Are the Garnet Gulls ready to kick in the door in their division?
I think they are. I believe in John Wagner and the job he's done at Point Beach. A huge game for them. I'm going to go with the Garnet Gulls.
I'm taking Asbury Park.
I will take Point Beach as well. Shore versus Homedale. Shore's not a surprise. Homedale is at 3-1. I'm going to go Blue Devils, though. I like Shore Regional.
I'm going to take Shore on that game, too.
I like Shore also.
And finally, we threw it on the calendar. Why not? Brickett Wall. A lot of celebrations tomorrow night. The 30-year anniversary of Wall's 82 state championship. 10-year anniversary of Chris Barnes' 2002 championship. Will the Wall fans there tomorrow night be happy?
I believe they will. A lot of emotion in that game. Players will be up. I'm going to go with the Wall.
If Chris had come down tonight in a blue shirt, I really would have been worried about this, but he came down in red, so I will pick Wall.
And I will make it a three-peat. I like the Crimson Knights as well tomorrow night against the Green Dragons. So that will do it for tonight. Our thanks to a cornucopia of guests, including Walt Curry and Mike Basile from Brick Memorial, Neptune coach Mark Ciccatelli, Chris Barnes, former coach and now broadcaster. We'll throw that in there. Monmouth coach Kevin Callahan, Garrett Graham, the tight end for the Houston Texans, and Scott Stump from All Shore Media. Reminder, tomorrow night we're on the air just before 7, 6:50 kickoff from DeFabio Field, Brick Memorial, Neptune on 105.7 The Hawk. For Tom Tremblay, doing a great job here as always, Phil Howarding back at our studio, and my broadcasting colleagues Ed Sarluka and Matt Harmon, I'm Kevin Williams, bidding you a good Thursday night because you have been listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.
The Barnabas Health High School Football Show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on 105.7 The Hawk, was powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Join us again next week. Get a complete look at Shore Conference football. And for more, anytime, log on to ShoreSportsNetwork.com.